Well, today we're going to talk about a very familiar story in the Bible, and because we're dealing with this subject of the power of confession. In fact, when Jesus Christ, in one of his times that he appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin, he used this story specifically talking about confession. He gave him this story is to use. This story happened to Israel, but this story was written for us. It wasn't risen. It wasn't just a night story about a kid that killed a giant, because if that's what that is to you, you ain't got a clue. I'm just saying that. See, we turn around and we made cute stories and took the power out of the story. It's the power of God as well, because these stories are of no value if they don't fit to my life. Mm-hmm. You know, we have plenty of stories to tell. You know, why do we just need another story and say these things? And boy, yes, look at David and everybody. I'm sorry, I'm one up on David. I'm born again a child of God. He was not. Thank God God used him in his covenant. But I want God to use Ed in his covenant. And our covenant is a better covenant with better promises. Hallelujah. You know, we sang this morning, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Anything that God promised, he will do. Why people pray and try to convince God to fulfill his promise is beyond me. It's already a yes and amen. Amen. So we need to get to this thing. The Lord spoke to me about his promises. He said, all my promises in the Word are for you. He said, Old Testament or New Testament, they're for you. They are things that I said I would do. If these things were written for our admonition, then those promises have to be for us. If they're not, then the Bible's a lie. And see, we have to settle this fact. Is the Bible's true? If God would do for David, he would do for Ed. If he would do for a servant, what would he do for a son? Amen. So you got to get your thinking in here, Chris. We were singing about all things are possible. That is a wonderful statement. But you know what's only possible to you is what you declare and what you say and you believe. All things are possible, but have you ever noticed not a lot of possible gets done? Why? Because people think, well, all things are possible. Yeah, that's great. But you have to understand that statement in the light of the Word. If you don't, all things are possible. And you know what that's saying? This, really, all things are possible is no more to you than hope if you don't have a specific thing you can believe for. It's no more than hope. It won't produce nothing. Now, it's a good hope. This is one thing as I know. Everything's possible. Therefore, I need to find out what God's going to do. I need to make, then I can make that a possibility in my life. That'll happen. That's what you got to do with it. Hallelujah. So it is good. Faith comes from the things that, is the things that we hope for. So you have to have hope. Well, hope is all things are possible. That's a good hope statement. It's not a faith statement. It's a hope statement. It becomes a faith statement when it's specific things dealing with the promises of God. We're going to look at this story about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We're going to look at this story. It's a phenomenal story, but it shows us something where we can walk and we do in our life. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered together at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah. In Ephes, Damon. And he says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah. And it says, and drew up battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with the valley between. And it says, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, we're going to talk about this. I want you to think about this. See, we're dealing with this today. You know, we have this place over here they call Gaza, you know, over in Israel, that Gaza along here. That's the Philistines. That's who lived in those areas. That was the Philistines. They ain't ever left. The devil's people never left. They're still there. We're still fighting the Philistines. So they have trouble. So the Philistines came over into Judah, and they had this guy, this champion of theirs. Now, this guy, I want you to think about this. When we talk about people today, we're dealing, you know, Saul had an army. Saul, the Bible tells us about it. If you don't read and study the whole story, you're really going to understand a lot about some of these things that go on and what things took place. Saul, the Bible tells us, he was a head taller than all the other guys in Judah. A head taller. He was very tall for them. But you, I want you to understand this. Probably the average guy was probably no more somewhere between maybe a tall guy would have been in those days, probably about 5'8" would have been tall. See, there was no NBA players. You know, there wasn't none of that stuff. You need to understand the height. You know, it's like during the Second World War, the average height of a man in the army in the Second World War was 5'8". That was the average man's height. Because a lot of the equipment, that stuff, airplanes and stuff, as they were made at that time, most men today couldn't get in the cockpit of them. They're too tall. They were made for an average of 5'8". That's what they were. And so, we're talking about short. So if Saul, if he went out there and he was a head taller, he may have been about like 6 feet. To them, that's huge. 6 feet. Today, a person 6 feet is no biggie. There's walk around, there's loads of them out here any day. You know, loads of people that tall. It's not a biggie. You know, it's just big dust, shorter stuff, you know. But it's not any big deal. So this guy comes out here. Now, I want you to get out. If you have the average guy's 5'8", now he comes around out here. Now, on an average of what they figure at that time of how heights were, you can look, and people have different ones, but they average out. He was about 9 feet 9 inches tall. That's big. You got this guy. Saul looks really small to him. This guy's 3 feet 9 inches taller than Saul. He's big. This is big stuff, you know. I mean, the average house that's built today, like, you know, with 8-foot ceiling, this guy, you know, he can't stand in your house. He can't, you know. This man's, when he shows up, he's big. And so we need to get this picture about this guy of people at that time. So when they call him a giant from that standpoint, he's really a giant. You know, this guy is big to everybody else. So we find out, it says, verse 5 says, he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat of mail was 5,000 shekels of bronze. It was about 126 pounds. Now his mail shirt that they put on over you, that was 126 pounds. Now, they put that on you, you'd be there like, whoa, this is... Say, we're going to go fight a war? No, I'm just going to stand here and sweat. Probably what I'm going to do. I'm just trying to stand up. Thank you. But having that on you. So, I mean, this guy, the mail that he's carrying. And then it says, and he had a bronze armor on his legs and a javelin between his shoulders. So he had all this other stuff that weighed. But it says, now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. So that was somewhere around 15, 16 pounds. You know, that's big. I mean, if you take like that, people see how far they can throw a shot put and they weigh less than that. And this guy here, he's throwing a spear that has a head on it, you know. You know, we'd be thinking we're really something. We could get a little bit of distance on that thing there, you know. He, this guy was not a weakling. He wasn't just some tall guy build on. You ever see some people, you know, they get big, but they're really awkward and weird. This guy wasn't like that, you know. But, we're looking at this guy from naturally speaking, what he looks like. Now it says, then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and he said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you the servants of Saul? Choose a man from yourself and let him come out to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him, he said, and he kills me, he said, then we will be servants and servants of us. So servants and servants of us. He says, the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. So he says, give me a man that we may fight together. Now this guy comes out. Now just think about this. This one man comes out. Now he's big, but he comes out there and he stands there and he says, you guys send somebody out here, send him out and we'll fight. And he said, you know, whoever wins, you know, we'll serve you. Well, number one, the Philistines were downright ungodly people. They were very pagan, the Philistines. As number one, they're liars. Because we find out when he gets killed, they don't turn themselves over as servants. They run away. They try to get out of there. So understand this about the ungodly. They're liars. They're liars. This is why one of the things we have today is even in the church world, but there's been a lot of demons in the church, and the church has listened to a lot of demons. This is why we have today what they call, you know, these churches that out here, you know, they're just trying to be like the world, you know, and that stuff. Because they think, you know, the world, you play more like us and we'll accept you and we'll come and we'll join your religion. And, you know, that's the Philistines. That's the Philistine. You know, you come out here. Well, you know, we have a gospel to preach and we need to preach our gospel and stand. We don't change our gospel for anybody. You know, I don't want heathens in the church. I want the church belongs Christians in it. Amen. Heathens can come, but they ain't going to join in the stuff if they don't want to be. We're not changing the message. Amen. To make people happy.
Amen.
That's what we've had. We've had that. It's the condition of America. You know, we want to have it. We want to love this. We want them to get saved. We want them to come into the kingdom. And we need to know. In this kingdom, there is requirements.
Amen.
One must be born again. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we're on two different paths. And we just need to let people know that. You know, what we are. But we're, you know, we're trying to be cute. Say, no, I'm sorry. You know, you go out here to join some group. They require something of it. You know, this is what people do. No, you make your organization what I want it to be so I can be happy and I can do that. And this is America today. This is the American church. It's America. We're trying to make everything so everybody's happy with it. It ain't happening.
Amen.
It ain't happening. I wonder how many people in hell are cursing Christians for all their lives. You know, we need to think about this. No, there's qualifications. You must be born again. You just believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe He exists. Okay, you're one of us now. So if you live like hell, it's okay, you're one of us. You know, we're just the loving. Well, we have this thing going on here. Now look, this stuff the Bible tells us, this stuff was written for our learning. See, we need to learn from this. One of the things I always thought was strange about this thing, why do you let the heathen call the shot? He comes out and says, no, this is how we're going to fight the war. You know what I'd have done? I'd have sent 50 guys down there and let them kill him. Well, why would we have to go along with what they say? I would think this is one of the stupidest things in the world. Why? Why sit there and put up with this nonsense? This guy comes out, no, you got to do it that way. Well, the heathen said we have to do it that way, so I guess we do. My God, it must be an American Christian. The devil said we got to do it this way. I always liked that in the movie, oh, what was it called? They had those movies that Raiders of the Lost Ark. I always thought it was funny, Harrison Ford. You know, in one of these things, and the guy come after him. And this guy standing there swinging that sword, and he pulled out a gun and shot him. I always loved that. I thought, that's what you do. Why would you stand there and say, you know, everybody else is scared moving back, and he just looks at the guy and he wants to go, and walks away. That's what you do. You fight to win. It's like, I've thought about this. I thought, what is wrong? See, the devil will throw you. Here's the problem. Saul is the king over Israel. He got disobedient to God and lost his anointing, and Israel's in trouble. This is why the church world today, we need to identify. Much of the church world has lost its anointing. And this is why we have a lot of the trouble we got. The devil gets to rule. See, I'll tell you what. See, people look at this now. As we got this story, people look at David and say, well, yeah, God chose David, did this. Well, do you have an anointing?
Yep.
I got one. When I got born again, the Bible says I have an anointing from the Holy One. I'm born of God. See, the church is waiting around to get something. David didn't have he didn't become just what he was because he had an anointing. Saul had an anointing and didn't obey God. And lost his anointing. Just because you got an anointing don't mean anything's going to work for you. It required something of obedience. And so you want to get in this thing and thinking on this obedience side on this stuff. David comes along. But we're going to find out in this story. It says, now it tells about David. It says David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons. The man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. It says the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of the 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next to Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shema. Now it says David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented themselves 40 days, morning and evening. Now just think, for 40 days this is going on. 40 days they're standing out there. This thing's happening. 40 days. You know, I guess maybe they were thinking, can we make some negotiations? Maybe that's what we can do here. We can do something. I don't know. But they're doing 40 days. But I want you to think about David. Now you got to read the story concerning David to understand this. See, David, when Saul lost his anointing, they chose David to come because David was, they said he was good. David could play the harp and he could sing. And he would go play for Saul because when Saul lost his anointing, the devil moved in even more in his life. And he ended up in big trouble. His mind's gone. Well, it had the devil's tormenting him. And what happens is this, when David would play and music and stuff would relieve him, this spirit. So you understand the power of music? See, that's when you play a lot of this junk in the world, don't be surprised. You may have some demon problems. See, we don't believe in this stuff and the power concerning music. We don't believe that the atmospheres that are set concerning these different things stuff. That's why I tell you what, I've watched over the years and I've seen this. There's a lot of so-called, quote, Christian artists. I don't pay no attention to them. I ain't listening to their stuff. Just because somebody uses Jesus in a dong don't mean they know anything. They got God going. I've seen more stuff and more things and in the background of people and the stuff that some of these folks do in their lives. It's nothing but a moneymaker. You know, I've learned about Christians. You want to find a sucker? Go look up Christians. You'll find a sucker. You can make some money off of them. He'll buy something. Oh, yeah, you can say you're something. They'll never check you out, see if you're that something. They just jump right in. Oh, it sounded good. You know, say, I got some swamp land in Florida to sell you. You know? It's got a beautiful sunset at this place. It's in 4 feet of water, but don't worry, it'll be all right. You won't mind those big snakes. They don't come around often, you know. But David would play for him. Well, David would go from Saul to go back to. So this isn't nothing new that he didn't know Saul. Saul knew David. He knew who David was. So David would go back. I often thought this is an interesting thing. David travels back and forth. I wonder what Jesse's other kids did. That David has to go back and forth and tend the sheep. What are those other lazy kids doing? I see why God chose David out of that family. You know why? Because he's the only one that worked. Rest of them didn't do squat. The oldest boy, he was pretty boy. He was pretty boy. That's what he was. He was the pretty one in the family. Tells us he was a tall guy and looked good. And Samuel fell for it. Well, surely God's going to pick the good looking dude. The big good guy. You know, he's got to be the guy. He's a real leader. Why? You know, he's big and he looks pretty. And we've had a lot of big and look pretty and it ain't worked out well. See, these things should speak to us. We read these stories. We should see, you know, man has not changed. God's people haven't changed. I want you to get a picture of this. There's an entire army. It doesn't tell us how many men were in Israel. But the regular army guys, there's not one person of faith. Not one person of faith in the entire army. David, who travels back and forth, is the only guy that's got faith in God. I'm sure the rest of them are all religious. It's nothing any different. Nothing has changed since in the desert, in the wilderness, two guys out of the crowd are people of faith. Two guys. See, there's a lot of born-again people, but there's few faith people. A lot of people have, they got born again. But I've learned this. There's few faith people. I decided I was going to be a faith person. So you're going to decide, you know. Faith people get to be a faith person because they follow the Word of God. They follow the Word. They have to hear it. They have to talk it to be it. If you are not a talker of the Word of God and the talker of the things, you don't have faith. You're not going to have it. If the majority of your talk is, you know, other stuff or whatever it is and things going on, you're going to have confidence in the things that you're listening to. Faith comes by hearing. Unbelief comes by hearing. It all comes by. You are the number one person that is going to determine your faith and its level. You're going to determine. You determine that. See, we need to get this. You know, there's something, and it's really important. People need to listen to this. We don't speak and believe the Word of God for God's benefit. It is never for God's benefit. See, this is when people make confessions and they think they're doing something for God. No, you're not. You're doing for you. Faith comes by. My confession don't give God a bit of faith. He done believes everything he said. He's the guy who gave the word. It's for me. The first thing we do, confession for us, number one, is to bring us to faith. Confession number two is this, to keep us in faith. See, if you can't come to faith and stay in faith, you can't inherit the promise. It's inherited. It is for us. Get this. When I stand in faith, God's promise already stands as true. I don't make it true because I decide to do it. I make it true in my life, but not for God. It is true. That's it. We're not doing any of this for God. This is why most people that do confession is they think they're moving God. They're doing something. When I'm doing this, then God's impressed. God's, you know, I'm saying this, and if I just say it and confess it enough, then He'll decide to do it. See, we sing songs like all the promises are yes and amen. How can you sing the promises that are yes and amen and you're like you're trying to convince God to do it? Now, that is the dumbest thing in the world. But this is the church world. How do people pick this up? How don't they notice? We get into this rut. Israel is in a rut. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with the ends kicked out. That's all it is. That's a rut. Because that's where you're going to die, in that place, if you don't get out of that rut. And we're in a rut. Not with God. God's made the promise. God said, this is what I want to do. So I am never trying to convince Him to want to do it. Never. Faith is me declaring, He's going to do what He said. He's going to do it for me. See, we can say these things, you know, well, yeah, God can do this and God can do that. Yeah, but what's He going to do for you? It is for me. And our confession is what He will do for me. See, you need to get into this. This is God's working. Get into this thing. Quit working and laboring on things that are unprofitable. And it's a lot of people's so-called faith is unprofitable. It is not faith at all. It's unprofitable. Labor and work and say, no, no, no. God said, this is what His promise is. That's what He does. He does that. So therefore, if He does that, all His promises are yes and amen. The Bible says it. All the promises of God are yes and amen. It says that. So therefore, He's already declared, yeah, Ed, it's yours, it belongs to you. That's yours. Hallelujah, it's yours. So it belongs to you. So get this in yourself. Get yourself on this fact of, no, what is it? I want to maintain my faith. Because it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise. What it is. So I stand. I don't move off of faith. So God can carry out His promise for Ed. It is for Ed. It isn't for God. God's doing fine. You know? He don't have a hospital up in heaven. There is none up there. You know, there's none of those things. They don't have none. They're all doing great. It's here we use faith to bring heaven into earth. You can't bring heaven into earth any other way. You can't do it. Impossible. It's impossible. You can't please God without faith. When God sees faith, He's happy. Why? Because now He can fulfill His promise. Something the Lord told me many years ago, decades ago, He said to me, how much He loves to bless His people. He said, if anything I do, I love to bless my people. I love to bless them. See, when I think about it, I step into a place of faith. God's getting to do what He loves to do. He's getting to bless somebody. Hallelujah. He's happy. See, people are trying to make God happy through their works. And they ain't got a bit of faith. They think now that I've done all this, God's going to really be tickled now because look what I did. No, they sing a song. Rhema singers in band used to sing a song, look what the Lord has done. See, it comes out, look what the Lord has done. That's what we want. Faith is about, I want to see what God does. I know what Ed can do, and pretty limited. But I want what the Lord can do. That's what you and I need. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, in verse 17, it says, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephod of this dried grain, and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the thousands, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah. I think this is funny. Fighting with the Philistines. No, they're trying to stay awake. They ain't fighting. They're down there where there's supposed to be a fight. Anyhow, it says, so David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. Now they're out there shouting. They know how to shout. Ain't no fighting, but we're going to yell like we are, okay? So it says, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up battle lines array, army against army. So they come out. Just think about it. Every day, 40 days, they get out there and they line up yelling. Rah, rah. We're out there, you know, we're tough. We're rah, 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 rah. And what happens? One guy comes out. Yeah. Have you ever seen people, or maybe you have done that already? You were rah, 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 faith person till you got out there and saw something. And like, oh. Oh. Uh-huh. You ever been there? Yeah. Well, you got to learn this. Fighting ain't in the, faith ain't in the lineup. It's going after what stands before you. You got to go after it. You go after. We're going to find out what David does. But we find this thing because we need to learn from these things. Well, anyhow, so it says, and David left the supplies in verse 22, and in the hand of the supply keeper ran to the army and came and greeted his brother. You know, there ain't much of a fight going on that he runs to see his brother, finds his brother in the lineup. Ain't much of he could tell there wasn't much of a fight going on. You know, if there's a battle going on, you don't run down. Where are my brothers at? I want to talk to him. You know, they ain't firing cannons at each other and planes bombing. Their wars are right on top of each other. Yeah. It's a whole lot different than most fighting today. They're right on top of each other. So it's a whole lot different. See, today, there's a lot of people would never be, you know, there's a lot of people think because they have a gun that they're tough people and soldiers, if they had to actually fight, they'd find out they ain't good at all. If they had to get on top of each other, this is a whole different type of warfare. And Well, it finds here, so David says, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up from the armies of the Philistine, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Now, can you imagine that? All of them ran. There's thousands of people. They all ran. See, this is what happens. Why is this? You know how they had fear? Words. They say, well, this is a big guy. No, he comes out. They were afraid because of what he said. You're going to run into things in life that are big. You decide you're going to be a runner. This is most people. Most people try to get away from every kind of problem and they don't face them. This is the great weakness of the faith people today. They don't want to stand. Something comes, immediately people, why? They've heard. We got a doctor's report. They said this, they said that, they said this. And this is what you can always do. You can always get people to tell you what the words of fear were. Always they will tell you. They will always, Christians will always tell you what the doctor said. Whatever that report was, they got that report. Boy, that they got this thing and they don't realize every time it gets said, fear comes. What are you doing with it? It's just like the Word of God. What are you doing when that comes? Faith comes. Are you receiving it? Whichever you take is the most important is what is going to dominate you, is going to rule. You can't, let me just say this, you can't have a mixture. Can't have a mixture. You want to say to this mountain, can't have doubt. You see, these guys are running. Why? I guarantee you, this is what they do. The guy comes out, they run. Then all night, they're probably talking to each other in their tents about that dude out there, about that guy out there, about this. They've talked. You know what? The toughest guy in the place becomes a weakling. I don't care how bad you'll become the biggest weakling there is. I've watched people do it. I watch people knew how to stand by faith, and today they can't stand for nothing. They have said too much in their life, and they believe they've said the wrong things, and it's turned around and weakened them, and weakened them, and weakened them, and weakened them, and it keeps doing it. When you're in trouble, that's the main time you got to keep your mouth right. That, if you can't do it then, good luck. Because that's what you're going to be running on. That's the time. You must keep your voice when the trouble is there and you don't change it. This is the battle. This is the battle line. This is the place where it comes. When one guy, Israel was told by God that one would put 1,000 to flight, two would put 10,000. Here we have the opposite. The devil is putting the 10,000s to flight. Why? With words. Nobody's fought this guy yet. We don't know if anybody's ever seen him fight. We don't know. But he says something and he looks a certain way. Whoa. It's the same thing. See, in the church world, you say the word cancer. It's 10 times bigger than Goliath. It's the fear word of the church. You know, God, the healing of a cold is no different than the healing of cancer. Amen. Only to us. But we develop these fear words. We develop them. We have had them. Well, it must be awful, and it must be because it kills so many people, so therefore, this is really something. And people get it in themselves, and they talk it, and they talk it, and they say it, and they say it, and they say it, and say it. There's a lot of disease and things that goes on in our nation. The reason it is rampant is because of the voice of the American people. We have made it. We have made it terrible because we amplify it. The devil can amplify it. We have allowed him to. sickness and disease running. It's how we talk about it. It's what we say and what we do. We need to understand this. Our voice is behind things. See, we do it to ourselves. We can make it. We make ourselves a failure by what we say. Here these guys are all running. Now, we know these guys. David's brother, his eldest brother, we're going to find out, gives him a hard time here. This same guy, when he ended up later following David, became one of David's mighty men. Why? Because he followed somebody who was saying the right stuff. What are you following? So you got to decide. What are you letting in your ear? What are you doing? There's all kinds of things. There's many voices, the Bible says, none without significance. But what's going to be significant to you? Which one do you pick out to your significance? This stuff is happening out here and going on. This guy comes out here and he makes word. They're all afraid. Tens of thousands of guys are afraid. One man comes out and says something. They'll line up against that. Now think of the deception of Satan. They line up against a whole army and are afraid of one man. Because this guy said, we got to fight it this way. Say, I'm sorry. You know, get the guy with a gun, come out and shoot him. This is it. Well, it goes on verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. It says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes, now listen to what he says, and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Now I'll guarantee you that all those Jews standing out there in there fighting, all knew that they were the army of God in the earth. They all knew it. They all knew this stuff. This ain't what they're saying. This ain't what they're talking. See, you can talk and say you know a lot of stuff. When the battle comes, we'll find out what you believe. That's what I found out. But I always find out what I believe when something comes knocking at a moment. I find out. I found this out. Don't go into that mode of lying and faking like you have faith. If you don't, then you do what you do to get in faith. But see, when something comes, that's an opportunity. You find out what's in you. You know, it's like a tube of toothpaste. When you squeeze it, toothpaste comes out. You know, I don't squeeze my toothpaste thing and none ever comes out. See, you always find out what you are when you get squeezed. And I found out sometime I wasn't happy about the Ed who got squeezed. And that Ed had to change. He had it because what he thought was in him wasn't in him. You see, the squeeze is on. And you know what? They're wanting mashed potatoes, but there's toothpaste coming out. Because they didn't put mashed potatoes in that thing. You're not going to have in you, if you didn't put it in you, don't expect it out of you.
Amen.
If you can't overcome the little, you're not going to overcome the big. Naturally in life is that. You know, if I can't lift up 50 pounds and somebody hands me a 100-pound dumbbell, why would I think I'm going to pick it up? See, I learned this. I built my faith on the little things. I became a ruler over much by doing the little things. See, I learned to believe on the little things. I've learned to stand things concerning health, dangerous things with my health. Why? Because things that weren't too bad, I learned how to control colds. I learned how to stop them right away. I learned how to do that. You know, there's bigger things that came along. Well, if I hadn't learned how to do that, the big thing was going to overrun me. You got to learn that this is how it's done. Money was the same way. Like I always tell, Wanda and I said, $20. You might ask us to believe for $1,000, to believe for $20 this is first time out. I have people all the time trying to believe God, Christians trying to believe for money, and I've never really believed for any money in their life, hardly at all. Ever done. They never sit down and say, look, I'm going to believe God for this. See, you know, sometimes I'm believing God. I want a certain thing. I'm just going to believe God for that. I'm just going to believe that. I'm not going to do something else, God. I'm going to believe God. Keep my faith exercised in things. Most people never do. So when something comes and they really need it, those faith muscles ain't been ever worked. You know, and they got $2 faith and they need $10,000. You see, you do it on the little things. We're going to find out David was working, and we're going to find out this guy was building his faith. He was a faith man. He did have a cape and a red S. He'd been building himself. So, goes on here. David has an interest. What did he say? David is interested in this reward. Your faith should always have a reward. Or what's the point of trying to go through the motions of faith? The whole point of faith is reward. It's reward. Faith takes you always higher to something better. When I found out listening to Kenneth Hagin and I started learning about faith and faith for healing and faith, man, I'm going to tell you what, I wanted that reward. And I got criticized by Christians, you know. That ain't the most important. It wasn't important till they got sick and come and ask Ed to pray for them. Why? Because they couldn't get it for nothing. They couldn't get it. See, it's reward. David heard about reward. That reward meant nothing to all the rest of those men. Because why? They had never built their faith for nothing. They could never see themselves attaining that. What did Mike talk about this morning? What did Mike talk about up here this morning? What kind of vision do you have? What can you attain it? Say, boy, I'd sure like to have that. Well, you'll be next year really liking to have that. Don't mean you're ever going to get it. You see, we need to. There needs to be a change in the church. I was taught faith, and I just sort of understood this the way it went. But today, I wonder if people have paid attention to anything. Because it's like this thing here about this faith stuff, my God, it is for reward. There's something you want that you don't have. What's the purpose of the faith? It has to have a goal. What is it? There's reward. Every promise is a reward. Every promise is a reward. And you don't get the reward without faith in the promise. To receive the promise is for the reward. I'm in this Christian life for reward. God set up a reward system. Well, you shouldn't want so much. I'm sorry. Get over it. God started this thing. It's His problem. He didn't want me to have stuff. He should have never done this. You know, we've listened to too much religion and too many. It's about reward. David hears about reward. He's like, whoa. David's going after Goliath because of reward. He's inspired to something. The reason people don't, or you don't go after something, or anybody else, if you don't go after what you see the promise is because you think you're going to not get the reward, you're going to have something bad, so you don't go after it. Oh, yeah. Well, wouldn't you go after if you thought you could have it? Wouldn't you? I guess I'm the only guy that ever held back, as you Presbyterians and have never done that. It's reward. David said and said, my God, kill this boy and woo-hoo! Man, I'll tell you what, things are going to be looking good. See, he ain't going to be blessed. I'm going to bless my daddy. He ain't going to pay no taxes. See, I'm going to be blessed and be a blessing. Sound like Abraham. You see, this stuff still fits. It fits us today. But they've made this thing of this, oh, David and Goliath, this is way out there from us. This is just huge thing that happened back then. And all the time, we've been living in David and Goliath all the time, and Goliath has been coming out every day in people's lives and usually has always got them all afraid. Goliath walks out. He says, And everybody, yeah, I believe God's great. I believe He's wonderful at a distance. God can do anything, but I don't know a thing He can do for me. Ah, come on. Well, David said, it says, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be for the man who kills him. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. It says, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why do you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Eliab was exactly what he accused David of. He's a coward. He's there saying to him, oh, your pride. He only opened his mouth because David's not speaking cowardice. The prideful one is his brother. He's upset. This is the little boy of the family, the little guy of the boys. And he's there, hey, why is this stuff going on with this dude? Hey, what was that reward again you get? I want to know what that was. He keeps asking about this reward. Tell me it again. I want to hear that again. Faith comes by hearing. See, he believed in more in the reward than he did in Goliath. See, I believe in healing much more than I believe in sickness. I believe in healing. Sickness, I know it exists, and I feel sorry for all the people it exists for. See, I believe in healing. See, there was a reward. I remember finding out about the reward of walking with God. I found out about health. I thought it was a wonderful thing. I hated sickness. Shall I tell you, some of you, and not just on criticism, but you know, you don't hate sickness enough. You're too accepting of things. You accept things too easily. So you got to pray and say, hey, hold it. No, I have a reward Jesus gave me. Amen. And I got to look at sickness and say, hey, I'm not saying it's criticize anybody. It's you got to change it. I learned to hate sickness. I learned when sickness got on me, it was no different than any sin. Don't belong to me. Don't belong to me. It's not mine. Getting over your things, getting thinking right about it. See, you want to get it off of you. Today, sickness is acceptable. It's acceptable. And if you say that it isn't, feelings get hurt because, see, we're such touchy Americans. It's anymore, and I said, we have a gospel because you don't even tell somebody living like hell that you're living like hell anymore. We can't even say it in the church. We ain't allowed to say this stuff anymore. Why? You know, because the devil rules and reigns. So I say, hold it. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. You'd never know it.
Amen.
No one would ever know it. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. You'd never know. People are afraid to say it. People are afraid to say it. See, we need to stop and say, hey, hold it. What about me? See, I got to measure myself. And if it is, I got to say, hold it. The word is right. If I'm doing anything or thinking anything different, that's not right.
Amen.
God's true and every man a liar. This is what it is. We're not running. I let people get sick. People are in different areas of faith in their life. But you know what? You can't walk in this so-called spirit-filled life and be in it 20, 30, 40 years and still the same things run you over.
Come on.
That's not right. We have no proof of spiritual development. You know, when they sent me through basic training in the Army, when my basic training was over, if I was in the same physical condition I was when I started, do you think they'd have thought I got anywhere? See, this is good preaching.
Amen.
See, we got to measure ourselves and say, hey, hold it. What can I... Are people really growing in faith? I had to decide, did I grow in faith? I had periods of time where I was sort of stagnant. You know, I got to a point sort of happy. And you know what? Every time things don't work out. Whenever you get to the point you're just happy where you are, and you go lay your weapon down and you take off the flak jacket and you take off your helmet, you go sit down. We're going to play now. Because, see, I arrived. I'm a bad boy. You know, I arrived. And next thing you know, you find out your head's where your feet used to be. And And you get up and say, guess we'll get the rifle back and the flag vest and the helmet on. I say, I think we'll do that again. You know, Paul said about putting on the whole armor of God. I'll do one better. Just keep it on. Just keep it on. Once you got it on, when I was in Nam, we were doing things to come, you slept with the stuff. You slept with your rifle. You didn't go put it someplace else, you know, out of the way. Because, you know, I don't like those noisy things. You know, they just... And I can't get comfortable like I do if that's laying here. God, I'm a good preacher. I tell you. So, his brother's mad at him. So it says, then his brother spoke what he heard. He said, they heard what David said. They reported it to Saul. So Saul sent for him. Now in verse 32 it said, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. He's saying, you can't go. What in the heck would Saul know about who could fight what? He's hiding in his tent. He's down there. He's telling everybody else, I'll give you a lot of stuff if you kill him for me. The biggest guy in the group. Yeah, he's the biggest dude in the group. Yeah. I'm going to pay you to do it for me. See, if I give a lot of money in ministries and they get real spiritual, then I can call their prayer chain. I can do their stuff and they'll take care of my battles for me. Would we have to bring that up? I believe in giving, but I agree giving to bless. Not just, I'm not giving so you can... You know, a lot of people, what they're doing, they're paying people. They're not giving. They're giving to somebody for that person to do something for them. It's almost like buying something. We're not buying. I never have to buy God's blessing. This is the most wonderful thing. I never give because I'm trying to buy something. I give because I'm blessed and I want to bless. Why? Because all the promises are already yes and amen. Amen. I don't have to try to buy for no one. I'm not giving to buy a thing. I'm not buying nothing. Hallelujah. I'm giving because I'm blessed. See, get this in. Change the way you think about this stuff and what you're doing. You know? I'm trying to keep God happy. I'm doing what I'm doing. My works are done because I want God. Because I'm afraid all the promises ain't going to be yes and amen if I don't do all this stuff. See, it comes down to works. It doesn't come down. There's not great joy in doing it. It's like, my God, I'm just going to bless. I'm just going to. Why? Because I'm so blessed. That's why I'm doing it. See, that's where the joy is at. The joy is in the fact, when you're labor trying to buy from God what He's given you. You see, I'm just a minister, and ministers lead us. You know, what I get, under my anointing, I give it away free. We're supposed to. See, we got a lot of ministers that are charging. They don't have people give them to them, you know, from the standpoint, they're charging. I don't have to charge for the anointing of God. It'll come. I get to receive it. I give because I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I love to sow seed.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know why I love to sow seed? Because there's a reward in it.
Amen.
Oh, ho, ho. There's reward in it. Say, so do you give to get? Sure enough. Call me what you want. It comes in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And those people think I'm terrible want an offering from me. They'll ask you for your money. You watch this. I've seen this in the church world. Somebody comes along and ends up really rich and got a lot of ministry money. Ministries don't even know them till they get money. Then they're contacting them. They found out you got some money in your pocket. We're believing God. We got your phone number. Oh, my, this is good. Hallelujah. Well, he said, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. Now, he's going to go and talk about this. Now, listen. See, David has been standing up against things. Now, David's a youth, and David's not a big man. If the average guy, say, was 5'8 at that time, David was a short guy, the Bible tells us. So he's under that height. David might be a 5'4 guy. You know, he might be 5'4. So David's a short dude. Now, we got this big guy out there. He comes in, he said, look, when a lion or a bear, see, we say David killed, he killed a lion and he killed a bear. He said, when a lion or a bear. In other words, he's had more than one experience with this, with lions and bears. Now, it's not told in the stories because people don't read the Bible. They just keep repeating somebody's story. David has practice killing lions and bears, and he doesn't have a gun. Hunters today don't do what he does. No hunter today does what he did. This guy, 5'4", is hand on hand with lions and bears. How about you? See, we think we run into, oh, you don't understand the problems I go through. No, God don't understand why you're so wimpy. Because the faith to overcome is given freely. The faith to overcome is given freely. But we've determined, you know, have you ever been slow to hear? Well, sure you have. You've been slow to hear. We've all been there. There's things I've come along with at times and I think, my God, the last 2 years, God's been trying to get that across to me. My words, I'm slow to hear, man. What's going on? He's been trying to get this thing. Finally it came and I thought, boy, that would have alleviated a lot of things in those past 2 years. But I finally heard it. Why? Faith's always coming. God is always moving you toward faith. Understand this. You know, we talk about come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace. He said you'd find grace. Finding grace don't mean you'll have it. Grace is always, always 100% of the time received by faith. We got born again. Grace saved us through faith. If you didn't have faith, you can't get the grace. You're going to find out about this about God. He is always revealing His Word to you to bring you to faith. Why? So you can take a hold of grace. Grace is of no value without faith. It's of no value. It's not any good to you. Grace is of no value to us without faith. So therefore, God, if He wants people to move in the grace, then He must be continually trying to get the Word to people. Must continually. See, I know this. God is always trying to get... I've had things happen and I realized what had happened. I hadn't come to the place of faith. I should have listened to things. And therefore, the grace I needed, I couldn't step into. Wasn't God's fault. He was always giving. Look, you have the Holy Spirit in you, the teacher. If you learn to listen, this is why. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You want to live like a son of God? You best listen to the teacher. He's in you. You got the teacher in you. You listen to that teacher. He'll move you in line with the Word. He'll bring you to the place of faith.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit does. I learned to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And man, as more I did, I saw my faith level increasing because He's the teacher. He's always trying to bring me to the faith. He's always bringing the Word. What does He do? This Holy Spirit, He takes what belongs to Jesus. What is Jesus? The Word. He's always doing it. Know this about God. God didn't let you hang out there anywhere. He has been trying to get things across to you. That's what He always does. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in you. Just you and I, sometimes we miss it. And thank God for that thing called mercy. Oh, thank God for mercy. He had mercy. But God, see, people get into situations and they say, well, why did God do this? Or why did God let this? Hold it. Let's stop right now. God has done nothing bad or wrong. He's always trying to bring people to faith. That's what He always does. He's always trying to do that. No, you stop and say, why did I let this go? How did this happen? What did I do that I let this go? What is it? No, don't blame yourself. I mean, you know, you could be like Elam. Call somebody else. It's their fault. Well, if that preacher would have just told me. I didn't know. Oh, I guess I'm the only guy that ever lives through this stuff. Oh. So he said, I went out after it, he said, and struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, now, he's going to be talking about one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat with a bear and a lion. Huh. How's your testimony? See, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. That's what I do to them. That's what I do to lions and bears. Lions and bears, you know what? You know, here's the average person today. Well, he only took one lamb. You know, it ain't worth risking my life. Oh, yeah. Ain't worth risking my life. This is why many Christians are afraid to say the word. Because they flee, they're risking their life. This is one of the things that I always say, you know, I ain't getting the flu. You know, I sit on Kenneth Hagin and I listen to his teaching. And Kenneth Hagin said, and I remember when I said, just a young Christian, he made this statement about the Asian flu at that back, he was talking about testimony gate. And they asked him, are you afraid of getting the Asian flu? He said, I don't mind telling you, I'll never have the Asian flu. He makes a public statement. Most Christians are afraid to make a public statement.
That's right.
Don't worry. You'll face the problem. We're scared. You know, I'll tell you what, I'd rather die on an attempt of faith than just die unbelieving like everybody else. Stand in faith. Why? There's a reward. See, I found this out. See, I'd say, I ain't getting the flu. I ain't going to have it. I ain't going to put up with it. I'd say that. And anonymously? Well, what if scum comes on you? That's the first thing. And I just know with them, it will come on them. They will have it. That's where their faith is. See, you don't say anything. You don't talk like David. You don't do that. I'll guarantee you, David would never allow to be in churches in most what we call good ministries today because he wouldn't go along with talking the stuff that they do. Mm-hmm. Letting people stay weak in faith and patting them and petting them and saying it's all right. They've been Christians in spirit-filled churches 40 years, and they still need patted and petted that can't stand. It's not good. This is not good. It's not good. We're in an army.
Amen.
See, you know, Trump took over and put a guy in charge of the army, and they're getting rid of the wimps. And a bunch of people are mad. My wimpy kid can't stay in the army anymore. You know, he's 400 pounds, but he's a good boy. He's been allowed to be in there, and he looks good in his dress. He really does look nice in his dress. He's cute. We're going to win battles. That's a crazy. You need to be. If you can't identify this stuff with yourself, see, you find in yourself, you stop and say, "Hey, hold it. Am I a soldier?
Amen. Come on.
Can I put up with hardship? Can it would look like I'm going under and I'm going to stand up and say, I'm sorry, we're going to lick the enemy.
Amen.
Say, but you look like you're run over. I don't care. We ain't going by look like.
Amen. Come on.
I'd rather die in a fight than running the other way.
Amen.
The faith fight is a glorious fight.
Amen.
And wonder what, understand this, it is a God-designed fight. It is designed for us to win. That's the design. It's design. You got to come to the place you believe the faith fight is a winning fight. It is.
Amen.
See, it says we fight the good fight of faith. Is losing a battle good? See, what we're meditating on and what we're thinking on, we got to get ourselves over in our meditation. How we think about that? We got to get this thing. You know, we at a drop will fight people. The things going on around us and what the devil brings, that's time we let him break it. We're redeemed from the curse of the law, but it's allowed to rule and reign. We've got to get changed the way we think about this. Hold it, it ain't rule and reign in my life.
Amen. Come on.
You know, You know, the scripture said, you know, Jesus said you're always going to have the poor with you. He didn't say everybody's supposed to be poor. He said, why? There's people ain't going to follow. There's people, you will never get them out of poverty. You know, Pennsylvania lottery, they found out it's about people winning lottery, big amounts of money. You know, most of them end up with nothing. If they had nothing going in, they'll have nothing going out. Why? Because if you don't learn that and they don't understand how to handle money and do stuff, they'll be nowhere, nobody. That's what happens to them. They went through, of all the people, I thought it's an article they did, all the people that won at least $1 million and the Pennsylvania lottery. There's only a couple percent of them amounted to anything. All the rest of them, stuff's all gone. You see, learning how to, you know, these people, you know, God just give me a bunch of faith. Why? If you ain't learned how to develop, you'll throw it all away.
Come on.
This is the way we go. David's out here, he's fighting. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Why is he says he can win this? And think about him being tough. He said, this guy did something that is the worst of the worst he could have ever done. He defied the armies of God. This is about God's army. Well, how did David know this? What's about happening to the rest of them? This guy defied. How come this David? See why David? David is not some big tough guy. But he has a big tough God.
Amen.
He's a person of faith. He can come up against things that are much bigger than him. And he can come out and he can win.
Amen.
You're designed for that. There's nobody that was designed by God. You're going to always have people who are weak in faith. That's their choice. God didn't ordain it. Never. It's like people are in hell because God ordained. No, Jesus died for everybody's sin. By choice. People will make their choice. What's your choice?
Mm-hmm.
This comes down to faith. What's our choice in this thing?
Amen.
You see, I look and I read the story and say, well, I'm going to be a David. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a David.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a David. So I have a choice. I can be like the 99.9% and run when the giant comes. Or you can be the weirdo. I was told by, you know, minister of a large church, you know, concerning, well, you're extreme. And you know what? I said, yeah, thank you. I said, I ain't changing either. And I watched the things that him and his family have gone through and things have happened. And he's a big faith man, big troll, yeah. And the devil has done things to his family. We need to understand this stuff.
Amen.
This isn't just about me.
Amen.
My faith is helping other people. There are people outside of my own family are alive today because of my faith. I'm not bragging. It's a God design.
Amen.
You don't find it. People can't, they ain't developing their faith. They can't walk around saying none of that stuff.
Come on.
If you can't take care of you, how are you going to take care of somebody else?
Amen.
I learned to take care of you. See, get over that thing. You might sit here today and say, yeah, boy, I've messed up in the past. Throw the past away. We're talking about the future. Decide today.
Amen.
We ain't going back to that, and that past of mine ain't going to hold me and make me feel guilty. I refuse to do that. Nobody goes forward looking at the past.
Come on.
I'm sorry, the past behind, I heard what to do in the future. That's where we're going.
Amen.
And this is what you got to do. If you're one of those wimpy people, oh, well, I just messed up so much, you own by the devil. Because he's going to rule and reign over you with that. Say, no, devil, I'm sorry, I ain't your kid. You ain't got nothing to say about this thing.
Amen.
I got a God and I repent and he calls me righteous.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's where I'm going.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't know where the rest of you are. This is where I'm heading.
Amen.
Don't look at your, don't matter what happened to pay. Don't count, I can't, you missed it 400 times. It doesn't matter. Jesus said himself. He said, if you have a brother, he's messed up, he comes and repent. Forgive him.
Amen.
Well, do you think God ain't doing that? See, but I did that last week, 470, and don't matter.
Right.
Pick up. Take a shot at today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. He says, moreover, David said, the Lord, now listen to this, who's he, he's going to break my, who's going, the Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. I don't think he knew what else to say. He was like, oh, I could just see Saul there, his eyes are this big and his hair. The Lord with you. Well, then here's what Saul. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put his bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with his cloak of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk in these things, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. You know, this can even be from Saul's side. You can't. See, people, and I've learned this. See, I heard people preach, and they said things were really good. But you can't run out and try to do them because it ain't your armor yet. You need to understand that. See, this is where people fail. David is going to walk in his faith. He can't walk in Saul's faith.
No.
See, doing things. Rhema, they, you know, one of the stories they tell us when you first go to Rhema, they tell you about the things. It was because Kenneth Copeland, many years back, Kenneth Copeland came and he told the story about giving and how he had given it. And he gave a car away. He sold a car and it wasn't a very good one. It was what he had, but he sold it. He gave what he could to somebody. And God gave him a new car. And then there was a bunch of Rhema students turned around and gave their cars away and walked the rest of the year. See, it don't matter what somebody else did. See, it don't matter where I walk.
Amen.
You're going to have to develop to go there. You can't just go because that was my armor.
Amen.
But see, I got to tell you, and you know what? I have to tell you about where I've arrived at my armor. What I can wear. Because if I don't know, you don't. I got to where I am because listening to a man tell how God's armor, what it did for him to get where he was. And I learned, I didn't arrive where he was, right? I learned how to start to head on the direction to arrive where he's at. See, if you think that I'm too far out there, you're never going there. You will never go there. Never. You can't. See, if I'd have thought Kenneth Hagin was too far out there, I would not walk where I do today. Concerning health, I wouldn't walk where I do.
Amen.
I do because I saw where he went to, and I saw what the Word did for him, so therefore I could build my faith to walk. And one of the most wonderful things is this, I got there very quick doing that because I listened to him. I missed a lot of potholes along the way because of hearing him. Say, well, what, did you just copy Kenneth Hagin? Sure enough, he was doing it, worked. If you're dumb enough to not, well, I don't think you ought to just do it because somebody else did. Oh, I don't want to heal just because somebody else got healed. How stupid. And I'll tell you what, there's ignorance in the church waist deep. If a guy knows how to do something, I'll copy him.
Amen.
You know? I mean, I was out there, you know, and I just worked in there building that stuff with my brother, you know, and worked on building houses and stuff. And you know what? I didn't develop the plans for the house and how you did it. I copied what other people did and showed me how to do it.
Amen.
Duh.
Amen.
And everybody, here's the American Christian. They're with Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And they're just singing that tune all the time. Doing it their way. No. If I find out some guy made it work his way, I'm doing it his way till somebody can show me something better.
That's right.
That's right. I'm going to do what works. Praise God.
Amen.
You know? I don't care if you don't like the package God sent it in. You better take what's in the package.
Amen.
Most people are more interested in the wrapping and what's in it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Let's take what's in it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So David does this. It says then he took his staff and is in his hand. And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's pouch, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began to drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. He's going to get killed by a ruddy, good looking guy. You know, this is for this sort of, hey, shorty's going to knock you out, boy. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with a stick?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Now, I want you to get something. You get out of your mind this thing of David and a slingshot. David did not have a slingshot. It wasn't a slingshot. It's a sling. A sling was a military weapon used in that time. It's a military weapon. You know, it's like people today. Well, you can buy military type rifles that you can use today, and people have them, hunting rifles and things. The slingshot, it's a sling. A sling is a powerful weapon. In fact, we have in Israel, let me read you the Bible. I wish ministers would read the Bible sometime. It would be wonderful if they did. In Judges, the 20th chapter, Judges 20th chapter, verses 15 and 16 says this, "And from these cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Geba who numbered 700 select men." Now listen to this. "Among all these people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss." See, this is military weapon. I would preach and say, "Oh, you know, David went out there and he killed Goliath with a boy's slingshot." No, he didn't. Do you think David went out there and he was just a lucky shot? No. David's been using this thing. Let me tell you something. You are not good. God could empower you to do something outside you never did. 90% of the time, what you don't practice, He ain't helping you. You need to understand this thing. You know, this is what the Lord told me. I first got born again. Listen to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. And he was teaching about the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. And he told about when they came up through to go into the land when they really messed up. And then he talked about Caleb. And he wanted to read about Caleb when they finally went in the land. Caleb, he's a middle-aged man. Now he's in his 80s. They go to the land. And they got there. And he went up to Joshua and said, "Joshua, God promised me this mountain over here. That's just for me and mine over here. This mountain. This is mine." Joshua said, "Sure enough, then go take it." Oh, come on, Joshua. You're supposed to get the other guys, you know. Now this guy, he's out. The age of the military is from 20 years old to 50 years old. He's 80 years old. And this is what the Bible says. He took the sword in his hand and he led the army and they went up and took it. And this is what he said. He said, "I'm as strong as I was when God promised this to me, and now I'm as strong as I was then." And the Lord showed me something. He said, this man has been working with the army. He didn't go sit down at his tent in a rocking chair and sit there and not practice with the army and 30 years later get up and be like the army. See, I started going out and running again because there's things that I said and God reminded me to get up off a rocking chair and go out there and do some things. See, you're not going to be as strong as you. You're not going to be without doing something. You don't know, "Well, I'm just going to believe God and be strong and be..." Why do Christians think that? See, the Lord reminded me something years ago. See, I watched... When Brother Hagin was my age, I watched him having a hard time walking up steps. He started having trouble walking up steps. And I thought about this. Need to exercise. See, he knew about believing God, God helping him and his body, you know, but muscles aren't developed by faith. There's things you got to do in the natural, you're in here. He didn't. As he got older, it got harder for him. And I remember making a mental note that I'm going to have to do something about myself. And the Lord reminded me, "Ed, you need to do something about yourself." See, I wasn't having a hard time yet walking up steps. But I found myself not as strong as I need to be. Don't get so spiritual you don't think you have to do something about your muscles. You're not going to be strong. Do you know what? I mean, they've all pressured. One of the major things you're going to find out about yourself, your muscle structure is going to have a lot to do how well you do. I'll tell you what, eating ain't near as important. See, if you believe that big lie that they told me when I was a kid, if you eat really good, then you'll go big and strong. I got big. But I didn't get strong. But let me say this too. The Holy Spirit just... See, I made certain statements in my voice a numbers of times when I was young, years ago. The Lord would remind me to keep my word on that. It was my word toward myself. There's some of you have made words in the past and years ago that you were going to do, and you don't do it. Yet you said you were going to. See, a spiritual pilgrim swears to his own hurt and changes not. Do you break your word with yourself? After a while, you won't believe you. You can cripple your own faith. See, God brought back to me things I had made mention about at my age, what I would do in running. And He brought it back to me. I'm not saying this. He brought it back to me. You know, you need to keep your word. You said you'd do. You need to get out there and do it. I say, boy, but it's a lot more comfortable on this chair. It's a lot more comfortable. See, what are you going to do? See, you think about, because they found out body strength, your structural strength will have a lot how you turn out in your old age. As you get weaker in your body, your muscles, it starts to affect the organs of your body. So just eating ain't going to do it. Eating ain't going to do it. See, it's sort of like the church. Every part of the body has its function. Today we've turned it all to lunch. That's the function. Eating the right... No, there's more to it. Shall I tell you what? Your health, your psychology of how you think is more important than what you eat. You'll never find a person that doesn't depress people. They always got all kind of health problems. They can eat what they want. That don't change nothing. The Bible talks about renewing the mind. Why? You've got to renew your mind. You change the way you think, it'll change what you do, how you act, change the whole thing. You need to get thinking right. This is why teaching the Word. Get thinking right. Think about the things that will bless you. Think about the things that bring blessing into your life and doing them. Things, you know, it's one of the things doing, whether we realize it or not, it is lots of times the harder things in life are the things that benefit us the most. Everybody loves reward, but we want it all to come easy. Well, it doesn't necessarily come easy. Lots of times it don't come easy. But I love the benefit of it. I love that, and you got to say, what are you in this for, the reward or the ease?
That's right.
Is it the reward or the ease? When we get to heaven, are we going to have reward? Or are we going to get there and have ease? Well, if you get there and you have no reward, you won't have ease. Sometimes the harder things. Now, this is just the way life is. But David went up against this guy. And let me just say this. We're not going to go with him and killing Goliath. But he went up there against Goliath. And I want to say, you're Goliath. He went up there. He was a guy who was practiced. He said he knew what his weapons were. He knew hand-to-hand combat. He has done it with lions and bears. He knows. He knows his weapons. He knows the sling. He must have been using this thing. He knows it. He's good with it. Why would he, if he didn't like Saul's weapons, why would he take one along he don't know how to use? Wouldn't make no sense. He felt confident. Why? He'd practice with it. See, this is what you do with your faith and your Christian walk. You practice with it. We're practicing. And you maintain the practice. When I was in the military, we maintained our practice all the time.
Amen.
You didn't wait to fight the war to see how good you were going to be. All the time you were practicing war all the time. You were practicing the things of war. That's what you did. You know, just like me as a over in communications. what they would do is, and our practices, they would turn around and take us, we had to go take all of our equipment, go out, set it up somewhere and get our communications up and running. You'd get it up and running. You'd have it up and running for maybe the day. You shut it down, haul it someplace else. Go set it everything. Doing all this work all the time. Why? So if you need to go into battle and you need to get set up, you're good at this thing. You know how to do it. You don't get it by reading books. You don't get it by reading the Bible. You live the Bible. You practice the Bible. You put the Bible to work. You learn to find things that cause you to use your faith. You don't wait until the devil comes and does his little introduction. You look over and say, hey, the devil's over there messing around. I'll tell you, this is what I'm going to believe. Hey, devil, we're going to do this.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to go. We don't. We say, wait, live at ease. Go hide out. As long as I'm comfortable, the heck with the rest of them. No, we don't. But see, you got to keep practicing. That's why we walk by faith.
Amen.
Last time I checked, I walk every day.
Amen. Amen.
Our faith ought to be in practice constantly. Why? Because when the severe things in life, have you proved your weapon now? Do you have weapons? Let's stand to our feet. See, we did this today. Hallelujah. The weapons. You got them. The Word of God. How do you think about your Father? Are you struggling trying to get faith? Well, then you're not paying attention because He's always trying to bring the Word to us. He's always trying to bring us a place of faith. Faith is the easiest thing for me to... I can pick up this book and say, well, you know, I think I'll pump some faith today. I'm going to read some words today here. I'm going to say these words. You know what? When I say these words in here, faith comes to me.
Amen.
If you ain't got enough faith, you've been sitting on the rocker at the tent. No. You can decide as quick as you want. I'm going to sit down. The Word of God. Tell you what, I'm going to sit here and read it. Glory to God. Let's read this thing. I'm going to voice it that I hear it.
Amen.
And you know what? When I do, faith's going to come. Faith's coming to me.
Amen.
God's Word brings faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit in me because He takes what belongs to Jesus in me. So He's saying things. What's He saying? What's the Holy Spirit saying? What's He saying? What's He directing me? He's trying to put faith in me. That's what He's always trying to do. Why? I can't. He wants you to please Jesus, and you can't please Him without faith. So what's He always going to do? He's always going to lead you toward faith. I mean, that's what He's going to do. See, everybody's trying to work to get God to do what He's already doing. Hallelujah. It's the easiest thing in the world to get faith. All you have to do is receive it when it comes. That's the easy thing. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try. What you want to do is, it comes, okay. How do I apply this thing now? Let's put it to work. Why? Because when I put it to work, it'll start getting better and stronger.
Amen.
It'll start. That's just the way it works. Just as easy. If you went out today and decided you were going to work out with weights, you'd start at a certain amount of weight, and you'd start working with that. You know what? You'd eventually, naturally, with no problem at all, end up doing more weight.
Yeah.
You just start doing more weight. You know? I was just doing things, you know, and I was doing these stretch things and that stuff, 85 pounds. I mean, and after a while, it's like, I gotta get heavier things because this ain't giving me the workout that I was getting before. That other thing was, yeah, that was all right. Yeah. See, this ain't right a minute more. I need more. I need why? I didn't have to go, oh, I got to believe God, I can work with another. It's just natural that my muscles would get stronger.
Yes.
Your faith muscles will get stronger.
Amen.
If you're using it. If they don't, there's no secret behind this. It wasn't used. Hallelujah. But it works.
Amen.
See, and talk about yourself with faith. Talking about Hallelujah, I believe quickly. God speaks His Word to me, and I believe it and I receive it. You know, talk in a way. Talk about yourself of being a faith person. Talk about yourself in that manner. Don't talk about being struggling and all this kind of stuff. You know, if you struggle at something, does talking about it make you feel better? Does, you know, If I have a pain in my body, discussing a lot sure does help, don't it? No, if your big thing is to get pity from other people, if that's your measure of your reward, that's what you're going to have. No, I don't want that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Talk your destiny and you'll get there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I just want to say thank you today. And I want to thank you for talking to us. Lord, I needed that talking to. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're all developing and working in this area of faith. Hallelujah. And Lord God, it's a wonderful work. Lord, your faith comes to us, and I just want to thank you. You are so generous with your word to give it to us. You're so generous that you put the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, in us. Hallelujah. What a gift. Lord God, getting born again and the Holy Spirit in you, what on earth more could we ask for? Hallelujah. Because that in itself is the destiny of faith. Hallelujah. That in itself, the great teacher. Hallelujah. Father God, faith is something you're pushing us to. Lord God, you're serving it like candy to a bunch of kids. Hallelujah. And it is wonderful. Lord God, your word is sweet to my palate. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. What an absolute dessert it is. And I thank you, Father, we're developing and growing in that. Father God, we're soldiers. And we're training. And Lord God, for sure enough, I ain't out of training yet. Hallelujah. Lord, there may be a day come, hallelujah, as I leave this earth, hallelujah, that my training here ends. But it ain't going to end for eternity because, Lord God, there's a whole lot more to learn and know. Oh, and I just thank you. Father, heaven's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when you view this new heaven and earth, Lord God, we're going to have eternity to understand and know your glory and what you are. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, what we will attain to is beyond measure. I just can't imagine what it's going to be. Hallelujah. And I thank you, and you have this all prepared for us. So, Lord God, we don't have to worry about a thing about getting any of that ready. Lord, when Jesus left, he made this statement. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. I ain't trying to build nothing in heaven. Jesus is working on it, and I'm sure he's doing a great job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not cutting corners. He's making glorious things. He's doing that, hallelujah, for reward. Lord God, I just want to, if he is so thoughtful about that far in my future, how thoughtful is you, Lord, of our future here? Hallelujah. Oh, if you'd look after us in such a glorious way, how glorious. If you're building for there, hallelujah, we can grab some of that there and bring it here. Hallelujah. And that's what we're doing with our faith. We're taking the glory of heaven and manifesting it in the earth. And I thank you, Lord God. You're not against us. You're not mad at us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're cheering us on. Hallelujah. You have those... The wonderful people have gone on before us. The Bible says they're looking down here at us. Hallelujah. They're rooting us on. They're cheering us on in this race. Hallelujah. And Lord God, hallelujah, we're just going to keep running down here. Hallelujah. And Lord, Jesus, if you tarry and I leave, I'm just going to pass my baton of faith over to the folks that are here. Hallelujah. To run. But Lord God, I just want to thank you while I'm here. I ain't letting go of this baton.
Amen.
I'm holding on to this thing. Hallelujah. It's your gift to me. My faith. And I thank you, Lord God, I'm going to treasure it.
Amen.
Because it's your words and they are life to me and health to my flesh.
Amen.
And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.